turn on the radio and hear such commercials as people or announcers with purchased time telling us that alcoholism is a sickness, and even deriding and ridiculing the possibility that it might be a sin. Hear paid commercials making fun of hellfire and brimstone preaching concerning alcoholism, and hear them tell their dirty lies that says no one was ever cured of alcoholism by that kind of method. Now, they've just got holes in their head, brother. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the preaching of the judgment of God upon sin has cured more alcoholics than Alcoholics Anonymous and all the alcoholic helpers put together. The old-fashioned gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the more they advertise their mess, the more alcoholics we have and the more liquor that's sold. Then the same fellows that are advertising it have their martinis and cocktails and Bloody Marys and Wounded Susies all the time. Now, the honest truth is, we need to pull out sin and show it as sin. God said sin that it might appear to be sin. Sin that it might appear sin. Pick up the daily newspaper and read. The homosexual, a preacher, God pity him. I've preached for him. I've preached in his Bible conferences. They uncovered the fact that he was a homosexual. And he said, my homosexuality is caused by genes and chromosomes. He's got a hole in his head, and he's got sin in his heart. No, homosexuality is sin. Homosexuality is not acceptable and not normal with God. And it's not sickness, and it's not caused by germ. It's caused by sin. Sin that it might appear to be sin. You know, we need to strip the mask off sin these days and call it what it is. We call sin everything but sin. We call sin a mistake, but it's still sin. We call sin misfortune, but it's still sin. We call sin error, but it's still sin. We call sin a slip, but it's still sin. We call sin laxity, but it's still sin. We call sin even crime, but it's still sin. God says sin, that it might appear to be sin. May it ever be so behind this pulpit that we talk about sin, we call it what it is. No, your sin is not a mistake. No, your sin is not a seeking for God. No, your sin is not a stumbling upstairs. No, your sin is not a misfortune. No, your sin is S-I-N, sin. Sin that it might appear to be sin. God says, put it out in the open. Show it what it is. Shine the searchlight on it and expose it and call it sin. And tell it like it is. Sin is still sin. Well, I know. They have nice, beautiful buildings now. And with carpet on the floor, it just doesn't sound quite as easy to call sin sin as it did before. Well, I know. We have our degrees now. Fundamental preachers no longer, many times, no longer split their infinitives and hang their gerunds and dangle their participles. And now we say, I have seen instead of I seen, and I saw instead of I have saw, and I have done instead of I done, and I did instead of I have did. And we know now the proper grammar. We've conjugated verbs, and we've diagrammed sentences, and we have our B.A. and our M.A. and our D.D., and then our Ph.D. and our Th.D., and it just doesn't seem quite normal for such things as sin, calling sin black and stomping your foot and hollering and screaming and saying sin is sin. Doesn't seem quite normal for that to come through the lips of a fellow who has a lot of degrees on the end of his name. But sin is still sin, and black is still black, and wrong is still wrong, and judgment is still judgment, and hell is still hell, and God still wants you. I don't care if you have carpet on the floor or not. I don't care if you have chandeliers hanging down the ceiling or not. I don't care if you have a nice drape over the baptistry or not. I don't care if you have padded pews or not. Sin is still sin, and sin is still black, and God still hates sin, and God still wants us to expose sin for what it is. I'm talking about your sin. I'm talking about my sin. I'm talking about our sin. I'm talking about America's sin. America never will turn to God till she knows she's turned away from God. A church never will get right with God till it knows it's wrong with God. A sinner never will come to the Savior till first he knows the sinner. And until you strip the facade away from sin and strip the curtain out from in front of sin and hold it out bare and naked and say, this is sin and God hates it, you're never going to have righteousness prevail on a nation or a church or a people. God says, tell it like it is. Well, I know. Satan has a new angelic wardrobe for sin every day for it to wear. Sin never walks around in its nakedness. It adorns itself with colors of righteousness and even looks indignant when it's called by its real name. Sin? Me? Sin? Oh, no. You don't believe it? You run a school for a while. Run a school. And here some fellows form a gang. And they let some boys off. Let a boy off 5 miles from the college. And they tell the boy to walk home. And then you bring him in and say, you did wrong. Oh, we just joking. Sister, we're joking. I want you to tell some Polack jokes then. Listen, you ministers know this truth. 90% of the folks we call in, they don't want to call their sin sin. No, their sin not sin. Oh, no, nothing. Yeah, it's sin. Sin is sin. Dishonoring God is sin. Disobeying parents is sin. Anarchy is sin. Communism is sin. Cheating on tests is sin. Cheating on the income tax is sin. Misbehaving in church is sin. Tearing up the church furniture is sin. Lying is sin. And rebellion is sin. And we need to get back to the place where we strip off the facade and strip off the curtain that covers it and let the people know all sin is sin. My sin and your sin. Our sin and their sin. Sin is sin. Sin doesn't like to admit what it is. Sin strips and tells its victim it's clothed. Sin beggars a victim and then tells him he's rich. Sin enslaves and tells you you're free. Sin slaves and tells you you're really living a great life. Sin starves and tells you you're full. Like the deadly cold of the northern Arctic area, it first numbs you and then it slays you. No, sin may strip and tell you you're clothed, but sin will leave you naked before God. Sin may make a beggar of you and tell you you're rich, but you'll end up realizing sin beggars you instead of enriches you. Sin may enslave you and tell you you're free. Ah, says the fella, I'm free. Nobody's going to make me a slave. I am free. I'll take dope if I want to. Yeah, and you'll be a slave to it after a while. You'll be a slave to it after a while. I'm free. I'm not going to be a slave. I'll drink if I want to drink. Yeah, you will, but you'll be a slave. And you'll exchange your yoke of wood for yokes of iron after a while. And you'll wish you had the old slavery to right and decency after a while. Don't you believe it, young people? Don't you believe it? Don't you believe the dirty commercials on television? Don't you believe what they put in the newspaper about sin? Don't you believe what the modern television shows show about sin? Sin blinds and sin kills and sin enslaves and sin hurts and sin bleeds and sin slaves and sin makes misery and sin makes unhappiness and sin never turns out right. As long as there's a preacher named Hiles behind this pulpit, as long as it's this Hiles, I'll guarantee you one thing. Every time I can, I'm going to take the curtain and pull it back, and I'm going to take the garment that covers it and pull it back and say sin is of the devil and sin is bad and sin is sin and sin is wrong. And sin's going to appear exceeding sinful as long as I'm behind this pulpit. Amen. We'll never improve till sin is sin. Rebellious son is maladjusted, they say. The man, the mean boy is hyperactive. That makes me sick. That makes me sick. I hope the doctors in our church never are guilty of that. Hyperactive. Phooey. We never heard of hyperactive when I was a kid, and my mother had healing services if we were. Every time I got hyperactive, we had a peach tree out in the backyard. Mother gave me a shot with one of the limbs. Phooey. We've done everything we can, and we ourselves have fallen prey to that kind of foolishness. Parents come to you, Mr. Clare, and then say, don't be so hard on my boy. Don't expel my boy from school. He's hyperactive. Well, if a boy's not hyperactive, something's wrong with him. I'm hyperactive, too. These guys up here on the platform are hyperactive. Every one of them wants to be preaching right now. They're all twisting in their seat. Well, they want to be up here. Why? Hyperactive, that's why. But we'll never cure our kids from their meanness if we hide their sin behind hyperactivity. The harlot is oversexed. The addict is frustrated. The anarchist is exercising his freedom. The communist is being benevolent. The truant didn't have enough cod liver oil when he was a baby. The delinquent child didn't fish enough with his dad. Misbehaving is just a search or a quest for happiness. And cheating is just another way of expressing oneself. And lying is just having a mind filled with fantasy. No, the harlot is a sinner. And the addict is a sinner. And the anarchist is a sinner. And the communist is a sinner. And the hyperactive boy is a sinner. And the rebellious son is a sinner. And we'll never make it. While the government, with all of the stupid H-E-W foolishness, having these child advocates so a child can go out and live like the devil, and a girl can get pregnant and they cover it up from her parents and won't tell her, or get venereal disease and cover it up. We've covered sin enough. It's time we expose it for what it is. Homosexual, sinful, not sick. The alcoholic is sinful, not sick. The rebellious son is sinful, not sick. The hyperactive kid is sinful, not sick. The harlot is sinful, not sick. The lesbian is sinful, not sick. Listen, I haven't come to my office. I mean in the depths of sin. Nobody much wants to admit they do wrong anymore. Listen to me. If sin is never sin, grace will never be grace. 'Tis the drowning man who grasps the lifeboat. 'Tis the sick man who seeks the physician. 'Tis the dirty man who looks for the soap. 'Tis the sinner who seeks the Savior. And until we get the idea that sin is sin and wrong is wrong and black is black, iniquity is iniquity, and the judgment of God is going to be poured out upon evil, we're never going to have folks turning to the cure unless they know their disease. If folks never realize their predicament, they'll never grasp the Savior. This church will stay what it should be in direct proportion as to how sinful sin is. They say all across the country, you preach against sin, you won't reach the young people. And yet the churches that preach against sin reaching the young people. They say, if I preach like that, drive folks off. And yet the folks that don't preach like this are the ones driving folks off. They say, can't get folks to come to hear you if you preach like that. And yet the folks that don't preach like this are not having services tonight. What I'm trying to say is this. Man will never know his need of God and knows what kind of predicament he's in. Till man's a scoundrel in his own eyes, he'll never realize his need of a Savior. Our schools. Will never be what they ought to be until we hate every spot in the school. That's bad. Every sin. So easy for teachers and administrators and students to get to a place where they say, well, we're all human beings. Okay, be human. Don't be proud of it. Say, well, nobody's perfect. Okay, I know that. But we ought not to be glad and accept the fact that nobody's perfect. Our Lord gave us the goal of perfection. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And as long as we slide a little bit and say, well, this boy, he's just being a boy. Brothers and sisters fuss and fight at home and pull hair. And then we say, well, brothers and sisters, we'll be brothers and sisters. Pull a facade off and show them it's sin. Teenagers talk back to moms and dads. And we say, well, that's, you know what happens to churches and schools, there's a gradual declining, decay, degeneration, because that little thing, that sin, that's the next sin we're going to commit, is not too bad. It's always that one way out yonder that's real bad. It's that real mean one, but that next one is not so bad. Schools don't change overnight. University of Chicago didn't change overnight. Temple University of Philadelphia didn't change overnight. And schools less than 100 miles where I'm standing right now that just a few years ago, a couple of decades ago, were citadels for the faith are right now halfway in between what Hiles Anderson and Maranatha College is and what Temple University and University of Chicago is. And the reason is they've gotten too cultured to call sin, sin. They've gotten too refined to call sin, sin. They have a nice campus. They're too uppity to call sin, sin. Listen, a church, a denomination, a school will die gradually in direct proportion as it lessens its attack and hatred on and for sin. I I spoke in a high school, and I've told about it out in the state of Washington. They asked me if I was speaking out in Washington at the special services, and they asked if I'd speak at a Christian high school. I went to the high school, met in the gymnasium. The speaker was down on the lower level. A fellow led the assembly, got up there with a guitar with long hair like a heathen, and the guitar began to beat out some rock, kind of a rock or folk music with some little religious words like the man upstairs, awful nice to have around his little boy Jesus, not bad either. And hiding behind spirituality, that's paganism, that's heathenism. And then introduced me. And I got up, and then I said a few words, and they started heckling and making fun. And one or two folks threw some things down on the gymnasium floor where I was speaking, Christian school. And you could see the girls' underwear as they were sitting there exposing their legs. And exposing more than their legs. Sitting there. And by the way, you young ladies ought to be taught how to sit. And you folks at Hammond Baptist High School and Howells Anderson College, I don't care if the skirt's down past the knee. You show, if they're showing their thigh or showing some of their leg above their knee, why don't you jerk them up and say, behave yourself or get out, one or the other. We've got a certain kind of a laxity that's going on in some of our schools right here in our own church that'll kill us and destroy us and choke us if we don't get the place we hate sin. Hate it! Hate it! Hate the lust that stirred in the mind of a young man when he sees a young lady exposing her thighs and sitting immodestly. And hate the kind of posture that stirs that lust and stirs that desire to do wrong. Hate it! And hate that kind of a thing that has this cynical kind of an attitude. You know, this little know-it-all kind of an attitude some of our punks out of the high school and the grade school and the college seem to have. This know-it-all critical kind of an attitude that embarrassed me when guest speakers, we've had 3 guest speakers in our high school this year who told me they'll not come back and speak in Hammond Baptist High School because of that attitude of our student body. And those punks that have that kind of attitude are going to answer to Almighty God one of these days because of it. By the way, they're not bus kids either. They're kids of deacons and kids of Sunday school teachers, and they're going to go to the devil unless somebody helps a preacher to show them that sin is sin. Amen. Wrong! Sin! Went out to the high school today and saw, I started to see a young man, and I saw an effeminate sissy wearing one of these hippie-like necklaces around his neck. I hope it chokes you. Let the girls wear the necklaces. These little beads. The same kind of spirit that put that necklace around your neck will let you grow your hair long as soon as you get out of Hammond Baptist High School. Same thing. Listen, it's time that moms and dads taught their kids that sin's not cute, it's sin. It's time when the preacher stands up and says sin is sin. It's time you moms and dads went home and said he's right. It is sin. It's time when this youth director over here who loves your kids more than some of you parents do gets up and says sin is sin. Instead of you letting those little cocky pipsqueaks criticize youth director and you becoming one just like him, you ought to say he's right. Sin is sin. I'm planned to. I'm simply saying somebody is going to have to grab the standard and hold it while the whole world is sliding. We will not slide. While the whole world is changing, we will not change. While the whole world is bowing, we will not bow. If you ever get the place to where you want to have a bunch of short-wearing, mixed-bathing, slack-wearing, rebellious kids around here, get you a little pussy-footing preacher to go with your pussy-footing conviction. But as long as Jack Hiles is here, sin is going to be sin around this place. God pity these teachers that allow it to go on. Listen. I said the other day, a boy in our high school stood up and made a speech in speech class. And he said, the subject was what I hate the most. And he said, the thing I hate the most is a barber. A barber. You know what I'd do if I was teaching that class? I'd grab that guy by the nape of the neck. And I'd say, boy, you get this up and now that's straight to me. Don't you ever in my class again say that you hate barbers. Get out of the barbershop. And by the way, somebody takes him to the barbershop and he comes back and says he barely meets the rules. If I took him to the barbershop, he'd get his head shaved. Tired little 17-year-old punks running teachers. I'm tired of 18-year-old, 19-year-old punks running administrators. I'm tired of it. Sin! All our fear sin! We around this place for 16 and a half years have sacrificed and given and done without to try to build us an empire where our kids can grow up decent kids, not have to be affected by the influence of the world. When a kid in our college or high school or grade school walks down the hall with dope one time, he ought never get back in school again. We didn't build a school. Somebody said a while ago, asked me a question. They said, what do you do when your young people in our Christian school get in the wrong crowd? There ought not to be any wrong crowd in our Christian school. There's a place for the wrong crowd. Public schools, that's the garbage can for the Christian schools. You said, Brother Hyam, I came to visit. It's not what I came to get. We don't give you here what you came to get. We give you what we came to give you. Sin. Sin. Church will stay what it should be in direct proportion to how sinful is sin. How much we hate it. Same thing with schools. I was out in the school, Washington. They began to heckle. I couldn't speak. Two or three folks threw things. Christian school. Christian school. Wasn't long till I just had to stop. Couldn't even bring my message. After it was over, I thought I'd have a fight. They came down and gathered around me on the floor of the so-called Christian school. That didn't happen overnight. That happened because one time, listen to me, that happened because one time some principal or teacher or speaker let a guy sit in chapel and look like this. No young person ought to sit in any chapel we have and look like that. That sullen kind of a know-it-all, I've heard this before, look. Why don't you get out and get to a school where you're kind are going? But you say, well, boys will be boys. You're the trouble. I'll never believe as long as I live that to be a boy, you've got to be a hoodlum. I'll never believe as long as I live that to be a boy or to be a teenager, you've got to be irresponsible, sloven. I went to our high school banquet tonight, junior high banquet. It's a dress-up affair. We had dozens of boys, didn't even wear ties. You know better than that, moms and dads. You know better than that. We've taught propriety here. Dozens of them grew up in this church. I wanted to know what the Sunday school teacher's been teaching all these years. What the moms and dads been teaching all these years. What the school teacher's been teaching all these years. Somebody said, Brother Hyam, when you have strict discipline, you don't have a good spirit. You give me the discipline, you can have the spirit. You'll have plenty of years later to have good spirits. You teach a kid to sit up straight and say yes sir and no sir and yes ma'am and no ma'am. And teach him to be a little... It makes them afraid. That'd be terrible. I wish my mama could have reared some of you little punks. You said, Brother Hunt, you'll grow up maladjusted if you're afraid all the time. I was afraid all the time. I'll be honest, when I look at my mama sitting down there, I still get scared sometimes. America was a lot better off when Dad set up like this in the house and said to the kids, bring my slippers. Now! I don't want slippers yesterday. Oh, no! He said, well, how? This is the new age. Yeah, I know. It's an age of free sex. It's an age of new morality. It's an age of indecent exposure. It's an age of nudity. It's an age of communism. It's an age of paganism.
And I'll tell you what, brother,
the problem in this country is not in Washington, D.C., and the problem is not in the Supreme Court, and the problem is not in the White House. It's in the houses of members of this church and churches like this who have succumbed to the devil's wiles in this generation of not getting shot when they see sin. I can recall when tobacco was sin. Now then, marijuana is not considered as bad as tobacco was 25 years ago. I can recall when if a president of ours sat in the White House and drank liquor, we'd all been shocked. And yet Mr. Ford proudly announced that he drinks from 2 to 4 ounces of liquor every night when he comes home, when he gets off work. Sin! And then he has a prayer breakfast this morning. I'll have a confession breakfast or supper tonight. There was a day when a president of our nation wouldn't dare drink liquor, but now it's not sin. It's accepted. There was a day when you had to go to a lewd theater to see film. And now some of you parents let your children watch the television at night and watch things that they used to have to pay to see. Some lewd striptease burlesque theater. Sin! Appearing to be sin. There was a day when books that were sold under the counter. Nowadays you can see the same books in the average. Listen, right here in the Hammond, somebody told me they went to a drugstore on Indianapolis Boulevard. I'm going to call the name of it as soon as I get to the druggist and talk to him and warn him. Unless he does something about it, I'm going to tell my folks never walk inside that drugstore again. A drugstore has prophylactics advertised and displayed in the drugstore right here in our town. Does that bother? Does that bother you? It bothers me, but I'll tell you what bothers me more. It bothers me more because people right here in this room can go in that drugstore and not want to. Now, I'm not suggesting you burn the place, but I'm suggesting you have to run out to keep from it. Very idea. There's a drugstore in my town. My daughter's going to a drugstore. You say, preacher, why are you so excited? Because you won't get excited. That's why. Young lady, sit up while I'm preaching next to the aisle there. He said, I don't like the way you did that. You don't have any choice in the matter. The idea of my daughter's having to go to a drugstore, seeing male prophylactics displayed, advertised, like you'd advertise candy. And the thing that bothers me is you didn't gasp when I told you about it. We've gotten so affected by this heathen permissive society, even Christians nowadays no longer are horrified at sin. Why are little boys and girls that are taught in Sunday school smoking so bad? When they see somebody smoking, they say, oh, the devil man. Little kid went to see her grandmother now. It's his grandmother in our church. And she's not in our church, the kid is. His grandmother smoking a cigarette. He said, you're a devil woman. She said, who told you? He said, Brother Hiles did. I didn't say she said, but I tell you what, I don't think that's what he ought to have done, but I'm glad he did it. It ought to be a holy shock. I can recall when Cindy was a little girl. She'd see somebody smoking a cigarette, and she'd come around and, Daddy, Daddy, look, Daddy, look what he pointed to the fella. But we ourselves have succumbed and acquiesced to the permissive society. There was a day if a lady wore slacks down the street, we considered she's a fallen woman. Nowadays, it's almost impossible to find a fundamental preacher who's got enough courage to stand up and tell that wearing that kind of clothing is not emasculating, but it's against the Bible. It's unfeminine, and it's a part of the unisex movement. Every once in a while, somebody will come to me and say, well, I saw a deacon's wife in your church wearing in public, then he ought to resign the board. No, let me change that. His wife ought to wear decent clothes. He said, we don't see eye to eye on it. We did 25 years ago. Not me that's changed, brother. Sin's no longer sin. We're no longer shocked. The president drinks liquor, cursing in the newspaper. Communism interviewed on television. Dope in our schools. Prophylactics in our drugstores. On the counter, advertised. Playboy magazine, nude women. Any teenager or any child that wants to can walk into most any drugstore in this area and look at nudity right there in the drugstore. How long has it been since you complained to some druggist? How long has it been since you walked up to some manager of a grocery store and said, I won't trade here anymore if you get that, unless you get that stuff off the counter? How long has it been since you did it? Don't you see what I'm saying? We ourselves have fallen for this kind of sin is no longer sin. We accept it. Nowadays, a preacher preaches like I preach tonight is considered an oddball even among fundamentalist preachers. There was a day when every fundamentalist preacher in the country preached exactly what I'm preaching tonight. We've built a facade for sin. Anselm once said, if sin were on one side and hell on the other, I'd leap into hell. Rather than willingly sin against my God. If sin were on one side and hell on the other, I'd leap into hell and willingly sin against my God. Now, what can we do? We've got to get back to where our moms and dads call it what it is and hate it. I don't mean after your child's 16 years old or 15 and already on dope and all of a sudden hate it. I mean hate it while they're 6 months old. Amen. Do what my mama did. Get a magazine, tear a page out of it, cigarettes, and hold it up and say, son, that's a cigarette ad. Cigarettes are bad. I couldn't even talk plainly. She'd say it, son, cigarettes are bad. I'd say, mama, cigarette bad. She'd say, no, no, cigarette, no, no, bad, no, no, bad, no, no, bad, no. Nowadays, we say, children, we look negative on iniquity. Quit looking negative on iniquity and look mean at sin. Amen. We ought to be shocked when we read a curse word in our newspapers. We ought to be shocked when we read and see what kind of books our kids are required to read and the garbage and trash I have in my office tonight. I wouldn't have bought it, but somebody brought it by my office and I'm going to get rid of it. I have in my office tonight a big picture book. It is a book recommended by many of our leading universities, helping parents teach their children about sex. Has pictures in the first part of it of little boys and girls, a boy and a girl sitting there nude, playing with each other. And yet you go ahead and keep on sending your students to these universities because they're so-called accredited. In God's name, what's wrong with you? Go on in the book. You see a male sex organ. Little child's supposed to look at this book now. Male sex organ. They even picture, pardon me for being so frank, masturbation. And try to teach the boys and girls how much fun it is.
You say, oh,
for the house. You shouldn't say it. Why don't you get as upset about the garbage your kids are getting in school as you do about me exposing it sometime? I don't like your preaching. I don't like your schools either. Sin! That it might appear sin! I've become exceeding sinful. May I say this, not only in the home, make sin bad. And by the way, don't make it cute. Little child, a year old, says no, no. Don't laugh at him. Spank him. I don't care how cute he says it. If he says,
no, I just don't want any,
stuff it down him. Ask David Hiles what happened to him, and he said, no, he didn't want any. He became addicted to it in a week or two. He carries a can of green beans everywhere he goes and eats them just in case his dad's around. You say, your kids will hate you if you're that way. Ask him. Ask Becky. Ask Linda. Ask Cindy. Mind you one thing, I never saw any one of those four kids ever say,
no, Daddy, no.
But once, you said to the house, how do you get them out of that? We use the shock treatment. I'll get some letters this week. Say to the house, we came to your church tonight to be fed. And we were offended at the crudeness of your sermon. When I have time, I'm going to worry about that. Ms. McKinney, make a note and put it in my schedule. Sometime when I'm senile at the old folks' home, make a note for me to, you'll be in the next room there, senile. I wouldn't give you a dime for this modern kind of listen, brother, if you came to get fed, you're getting fed. I'm trying to feed you something that'll save your kids from catastrophe and save your kids from wrecking their lives and bring reproach on your name. And it's time some of you, so, we got me in the night. Big, broad-shouldered little sissies. Your boys run you. Your girls run you. We got folks in this church tonight, Sunday morning people, Sunday school teachers, deacons, choir members, best folks we have. Ought to go home tonight and have an old-fashioned barnstorming session with their teenagers. But you know what you'll do? We'll call you in, or we'll discipline, and you'll come trotting up there trying to defend them. What did he do wrong? Paul Fooey.
Amen.
You're raising hoods and don't know it. Won't admit it. Mr. O'Clair, Dr. Billings, or Dr. Evans, or Dr. Hilton, or anybody else that's an administrator, or Dave Howells, or Brother Howells, anybody else, thinks that your child has done something wrong, you believe. Well, we had at our house that when I got a spanking at school, I got one when I got home. And I didn't get to explain my side of it. And when Mama arrested me, she didn't tell me my rights. And somehow I lost the telephone number of the child advocate. Garbage! Need to get back to the Bible.
Amen.
There's only one problem we have in America, the sin problem. There's only one problem Mr. Ford has, the sin problem. There's only one problem the Supreme Court has, the sin problem. There's only one problem Congress has, the sin problem. The one problem our schools have, the sin problem. You've heard me tell this before. The brother, I grew up, they paddled you at school. Nowadays, they have a psychological and a psychiatric examination. And the conclusion is the teacher and the student are both nutty. I walked in the science class as a freshman in junior high school, seventh grade. Mr. Brown stood up there. "I'll bind you one thing, brother." He was a combination between a first sergeant and Beelzebub. He said, "You see that paddle up there?" He said, "You talk in class, you get paddling." And then when he said paddle, he was guilty, grossly, of child abuse. He abused my posterior again and again and again. He left me red. He said, every time you get paddled, you'll write your name on that paddle. That's where I learned how to write. We didn't have, he cured my hyperactivity right away. All I had to do is just look at his face and look at that paddle, and suddenly I was tranquilized. We need some preaching on Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We need some preaching on be sure your sin will find you out. We need some preaching on the subject of sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We need some preaching on the subject, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And I'll tell you another thing, too. You folks that come out here to slum it every once in a while and hear old Hiles holler, what you ought to do is get your kids out of that dead church where you are now and get them under this influence, this kind of preaching all the time. We don't need the power of positive thinking. Never brought anybody to Calvary. We need to teach that sin is positive as thinking. You never get anybody saved with Norman Vincent Peale's power of positive thinking. You get them saved when you stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Your sin will find you out. Sin bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. Check the great preachers in history. You'll find the great sermon, the great preachers in history, the kind that have changed countries, were men who made sin appear to be sin. Sam Jones, Billy Sunday, Dwight Moody, R.A. Torrey, Jonathan Edwards, Charles G. Finney, the hall of heroes of great men of God that has dotted our nation and the nations of this world and have turned entire nations back to God have been men that call people to repentance from sin and turning to God and turning from evil. Check the great sermons in history. Greatest sermon in our country's history. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Not righteous folks in the hands of a smiling God. Greatest, most famous sermon of this generation. Dr. R.G. Lee's sermon. Payday. Someday. Payday. Someday. Now then, the same thing is true, by the way, not only about churches and countries, it's true about individuals. There ought to be a constant checking in every life. While we're looking at America, and America is not calling sin sin, the truth is half of us don't call our sin sin either. That's one reason why I do a constant checking in my own life. I have tapes of my sermons I preached 25 years ago and I listened to them. I like what old Dr. John Rice said. We were sitting in a restaurant the other day and he said, "Dr. Hiles, you know what I do?" He said, I said, "What?" He said, "If I haven't jumped on somebody for 4 weeks in a row in the sword of the Lord, I look for somebody to jump on." Now, I'm not saying he's trying to be unkind. I'm saying there's enough wrong going on around America where a guy can find something to jump on every 4 weeks. But here's what happens. And let me ask you a question. Don't you think we need some watchdogs beside Hiles around here?
Amen.
Don't you think maybe that the teachers at our schools ought to be watchdogs too?
Amen.
Don't you think maybe the administrators ought to be watchdogs as well as Hiles? You think that I ought to have to get up here about once every 6 months and have a tirade like this, or call the faculty together and have a tirade to remind you that sin is still sin? Happens so slowly. We don't even know it's happening. Like the hands on a clock. Ever moving, but never revealing their movement. Watch them carefully, you'll never see them move. Check them often, you'll see they've moved. You'd almost think that while you watch them, they slyly and coyly hold their position. And then you turn your back for a while and they jump down a little bit at distance. Over in the life of God's people, Israel, they're reminded again and again and again, remove not the ancient landmarks. Remove not the ancient landmarks. They had in those days stones or rocks, some markers between the boundary lines or on the boundary line between the property of people. The rich would try to usurp the property of the poor. And what they would do when the poor were not looking, the rich would move a landmark like that. When the poor was looking the other way, the rich would move a landmark like that. Slowly but surely, a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, a little bit here, a little bit there. A little bit here. And the poor man never saw his property being usurped. So one day he woke up and found that his property was gone. He did not even know it was being stolen. And that's what happens to schools like Maranatha and Tennessee Temple and Hiles Anderson and Bob Jones University. If we don't watch every day and be sure, we ought to have our boundary line surveyed every day. To see what changes are going on. I see it in the hair of you boys. And I'm just about to go out to our schools myself and have hair checked myself. Some of you boys right now going to Hammond Baptist High School, you wouldn't have stayed 10 minutes 6 years ago. Some of you college boys, you wouldn't have stayed 10 minutes 4 years ago, 3 years ago. What's happened? We just don't much hate sin anymore much. Some of you students visiting here from other colleges, you're shocked tonight. Oh, my, what's he? Well, you look just as peculiar to me, buddy. But I'd like to tell you something. The school you were going to 20 years ago had this kind of preaching all the time. Sin no longer appears sinful. Now what we need to do is go back to our houses after church tonight and make sin black again. Especially if you have little children. What we need to do is go back to our schools tomorrow and make sin appear sin. And what I need to do is what I'm doing tonight. Just get up here and regularly strip the facade and the hypocritical veneer that sin puts over itself and show it for filthy, lewd, the nakedness that it really is. Some of you students, Hiles Anderson College, been lying on your activity report and then writing up there. You go soul winning every week. You haven't gone. Telling a dirty lie. Sir Will Hiles, I've been misrepresenting the truth. No, you're not. You've been lying. Lying. Sin. Some of you students in our school have been cheating on tests. Sir Will Hiles, I've been borrowing information. No, you've been cheating. Sin. Sin. Some of you men been reading filthy magazines. See, you're studying biology. Boy. Sin. Lust. Sin. Lust. Some of you ladies, 50, 60, 70 years of age, ought to know better. Sitting home in the afternoon watching these little pagan serials on television. Not fit for a man or beast. If you had a child 20 years ago that watched that kind of stuff, you know what you'd have done. Your grown kids ought to come do the same thing to you right now. Sin! These men up here, rescue mission. Stumbled into our rescue mission. You know where they started? They started because some moms and dads didn't make sin to appear to be sin. And preachers didn't make sin to appear to be sin. And tonight, a lot of you, a lot of us, ought to just take the facade away and take the veneer off. It's time some of you parents helped us expose the sin of your children rather than defending them. It's time you helped us expose it. It's time you thanked us for scolding them and thanked us for disciplining them. It's time some young people stop to realize that if you don't stop and call your sin sin now, you'll be in all kinds of foolish sin and wickedness one of these days, and then it won't be sin either. If cheating in school is not sin now, embezzlement won't be sin 20 years from now. And if you'll let me say this very kindly, don't you sit in judgment, moms and dads. Let me scratch off that very kindly. Don't you sit in judgment, moms and dads, on Randolph Hearst, who's trying to get his daughter free after all she's done. 24 families right here in this room right now doing the same thing. Same thing exactly. Trying to get your kids from punishment. Dad wrote me. His boy's in our school. Dad lives in another state. Wrote me a letter. He said, you expel my boy from school. He said, you're a dad. You ought to understand I want what's best for my boy. I wrote back and I said, you ought to be thanking God we expelled your boy from school. To teach him wrong is wrong, and sin does not, sin pays in bad dividends. Honest truth is, we have moms and dads and deacons and choir members and Sunday school teachers and prayer meeting folks in this room right now who need to have a holy hatred for sin. Sin, that it might appear to be sin. Brother Howard, you've been preaching awful mean on Sunday nights. Yeah, I rededicated my life. Fellas, I can't figure you out. One time you're sweet, next time you're mean. Well, I'll be easier to figure out from now on. I'll be mean all the time. That'll help you any. When I expose your sin, I'm being sweet. One of these men on the platform disciplines your child at school, he's being sweet. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the mom and dad loveth, he chasteneth. Well, you know, nowadays the parents are pulling the school folks off the kids. When I was a kid, my teachers had to pull my mom off me. Sin. 1,000 folks in this room tonight. I see Judge Clement up here. Most of the people that come to Judge Clement, one of our good men, most of the folks that come to him would not be there if sin had been sin when they were little ones. Sin. I recall when I was a kid, had a little dance at school. I had a little girlfriend named Jean Muller. Had a little dance at school. I don't remember all the dance. I do recall that it went like this. And then it went like this. One little step, like this.
like that. And so Gene Muller, all the kids are doing it, and Gene Muller said, "Jack, would you come out and dance?" Now, we didn't touch each other. We just went out and... You got to admit, boy, I really have got it. So, one day, the junior choir was meeting at our church in the afternoon, 4 o'clock. Brother McIntyre was our preacher. He was 6'4", weighed 235 pounds. Big guy. Oh, he'd thunder out against sin. So we were there waiting for the junior choir to start, and Gene said, "Come on, Jack, let me show you how to do it." My mother always taught me dancing is wrong. My preacher taught me dancing is wrong, and dancing is wrong. So I was standing about here in the church, building a seat about 400, and Gene said, "Now, Jack, here's the way you do it." She said, "Now try it." I'd never done it before. I did it one time. I mean, I just got about two of those done. "Would you like to know who walked in?" Yeah. And it never hurts us talking about preacher in my life. That big 6'4" fella took me. He lifted me up off my feet. He shook me. If there ever was child abuse, I've been thinking lately about turning him in and out of the HEW. I'll bind you one thing. That foot right there was paralyzed for 6 weeks. And that foot right there, you mention the word McIntyre this day and it twitches. He didn't say, "Son, let's go to my office. I have a little discussion. I'd like to help dissolve some psychological problems that you probably have. You've heard of vibrating chairs. We had a vibrating preacher." He shook me like that. "You know, I got the idea dancing is wrong. And brother, from that day to this, I haven't done a bunny hop or the dish rag twist or the boll weevil wiggle or any of the rest of that junk. Thank God tonight a little lady who weighs about 110 pounds in this room taught me sin was sin. Thank God a dear old leather lung preacher stood up like I'm doing tonight and taught me sin was sin. And thank God some Sunday school teacher stood up and taught me sin was sin. And I stand at attention tonight and revere every one of them who dared to let me know sin was sin. Sin, that it might appear to be sin. How about your life? What are you doing that you don't want to call sin? It's a mistake. Error. You're maladjusted. What is it? Get down here in old-fashioned mourner's bench tonight and forsake it. Look at it for what it is. Strip the veneer off the front of it and face it tonight. You'll never get right till you get wrong.